from KQED.
Hey everyone, I'm Emmanuel.
I'm Carly.
And I'm Jamidra.
And we're the hosts of
The Cooler,
your weekly dose of pop culture commentary. So before we get started today, which is Wednesday, December 6th, today is your last chance to send us a voice memo with a question, a topic idea, or an advice ask to be featured on our 100th episode, which is next week. So again, today is your last day. Today is Wednesday, December 6th. So the way you can contribute and be part of our episode is by going to our Twitter page at KQED Pop. There will be a form pinned to the top. Send us whatever you want to send us, and you might hear yourself on the show.
Yeah, a star is born.
I mean, I've low-key always wanted to be a psychiatrist on the low.
Sit back on the couch. Yeah. We will analyze your problems and help you.
Yeah. Well, and what Emmanuel's saying there is if you are listening slightly late on, say, Thursday or Friday, you wasted it. You blew it.
You blew it.
You blew it's your chance.
Yep. You blew your load too late.
Oop.
Too much.
Too much. But I'm into it.
So with that out of the way,
thank you.
There is a pressing thing that listeners do want us to talk about.
Oh, God. Do they, though?
I think they do.
Facebook says they do because we've been tagged in several things. And this is about Prince Harry's engagement to Meghan Markle.
I knew this was coming.
You knew it was, Carly. You can't get away from your people, man.
I refer you to the sign that I have pinned outside my office door.
Is it just the middle finger?
It's the poop emoji. And it says, do not ask me about the royal engagement.
Wow.
Do not.
Is that real?
That's real. Trouble is people kept coming around and asking about it. So joke's on me.
Basically, a lot of people want us to talk about Prince Harry, but none of us really care. So we enlisted the help of someone we know who is obsessed with the royals, and she also happens to be Jameter's mom.
Yeah.
Does your mom wish to go by some kind of alias, some kind of a pseudonym on the cooler?
I'm not sure, but I know that when I dropped her off, when I came here to the studio, after she got out of the car, she flipped her hair at me and said, my time has come. So she's very excited about her debut on the Cooler podcast.
She's like, spotlight, mine.
Yeah, and I'm low-key...
Move over, Jamidra.
Low-key nervous that you guys are going to replace me.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you should be on the basis of this tape. So we can just refer to her as Mrs. Brown. Am I correct?
Yeah. Mama Brown.
Mama Brown.
Yes. Let's hear from Mama Brown herself.
So today I am joined by a very special guest, someone I know very well, mainly because she gave birth to me, Miss Deborah Brown. Welcome to the Cooler Podcast.
I'm very glad to be here.
So, Mom, I wanted to have you on the show because there's been a lot of hoopla and talk about the royals and the fresh engagement of Meghan Markle and Prince Harry. You know, I didn't really care about the royals, but now I am starting to become a little bit more interested. But I know that you have always cared. Like, growing up, you've always known about certain cultural things. Like, Motown, you had that down pat. Camelot, the Kennedys, you knew all about that. And then the royal family. So I always wondered, like, how did you, Mom, a Black woman who was born in Detroit and raised in Oakland, end up with an interest in the British royal family?
When I first saw Princess Diana's wedding, she was young, pretty, and it was a new day. It was different from the old, you know, stuffy. She was young and could get with the in crowd, and she worked to help people that was living on the margin, AIDS victims, you know, people that was leprosy, people that nobody really thought about, that people shun. Mm-hmm. And she touched an AIDS patient hand. When she did that, people wasn't afraid anymore.
So how do you feel about Meghan Markle, and what do you think she's going to bring to sort of like the Windsor party?
Well, when it comes to Meghan, I think she'll bring a spotlight on women issues, gender equality, women as advocates. Well, she did clean water campaigning in Rwanda, in a village in Rwanda.
Oh, so she's a bit of a humanitarian.
Yes. And, you know, really get into not only European issues, but global issues.
By the way, I'm really loving your NPR voice, Mom. So, do you think that there are similarities between her and Princess Di, and maybe that's what Harry saw?
You know, when I look at her and I see her over in Africa, I do see a likeness in them. Because Princess Diana, she was, you see her holding little Black babies, you know, doing things for people in African countries. and the landmine. She was trying to stop these landmines. Like in the Congo, I mean, they had more people with amputations in the Congo back in the 1990s than anywhere in the world. And she was trying to ban the landmines. But also I want to say is that in the past, the monarchs showed up to show their faces. No work, just faces. So Princess Diana, she didn't just make an appearance. That's the way the royal family support a charity. They didn't do anything. But she was the first one to really get out there and work and actually do something to help people. So that's why everybody is so interested in William and Harry, because these are her children, her offspring. Mm-hmm. And they want to see, are they going to be like their mother? Did their mother wear off on them? And looking at Harry, I think she did.
Can you think of anybody else? I know you have like an extensive background about the royal family. Can you think of anybody else who you think should be added into the royal family, like celebrity, otherwise, one of our family members, anybody you think deserves to be royalty or should be royalty?
You know what? I'm not going to say anybody in America, but it kind of connects. As I am an African-American, there are African princesses. There's other people, like there's Asian princesses. It's not just European, but I, as being an African-American, I would say an African princess.
Ooh, so you know we have, what's our percentage? Like 30, I'm 35% Nigerian?
Yes, and I am 43% Nigerian.
Okay, so maybe we can get a Nigerian princess up in there?
I think that'd be right on.
Well, maybe since you are a percentage Nigerian, maybe you can get married into the royal family, and then it'd be like they got a part Nigerian, part African-American. We could just, yeah.
Hey, why not?
Oh my, maybe. Should I be related to the royal family? So speaking about being married to the royal family, is there anybody past or present in history? Because I know you know all about the past, the present, and history. Is there anybody in the royal family that you would consider accepting a marriage proposal from?
Let me see. Who would? Okay, I'll put it this way. I would like to be married to a Nigerian prince.
So like a bit of coming to America?
Yes. And you know what? And he have to look like Idris Elba.
Yes! Prince Idris.
That's right.
Yes. So I know that you are into historic royal dramas. You were into the CW show Reign, which you had me watching for a while, which was about, I think, who was it about?
Oh, it was Mary, Queen of Scots.
You also watched The Crown, and then you were into Downton Abbey like everybody else.
Oh, yes.
So is there a particular show or like a person or a monarchy or a king or queen that you would like to see have a television show made about? Like, what's the show you waiting on?
Okay, again, I'm getting away from Europe because, I mean, people just seem to think that the only kings and queens and princesses and prince are in Europe. And I love, you know, I find them very interesting, but I find history interesting. And I find all kings and queens interesting. And no matter where, Europe or Asia, you are interesting to me. Okay, but I would like a show to be on Queen Idia of Benin. She was a queen, Queen Idia. And the kingdom was in West Africa from 1180 until 1897. So she ruled until her sons were able enough to rule. She also went into battle. So that's Queen Idia of Benin.
Okay, well now I gotta look it up. Maybe we can convince PBS to make a show about it?
Yes, it'd be very great. West African Kingdom.
It's been a pleasure chatting with you, Mom. I chat with you all the time. But now I get to introduce you to our cooler listeners. Is there anything else that you want to share or you'd like them to know about?
Oh, yes. Concerning Meghan and Prince Harry, I would like to say, true love have no color. I wish Meghan and Prince Harry a long and happy marriage. Congratulations.
Oh, you think we should send them a bouquet of flowers?
That's not a bad idea.
If Prince Harry and Meghan sent you an invitation and you got to go, what do you think you wear?
I want to come. A purple hat, a purple suit, and black high heels, because purple is my favorite color. And that's a special occasion, so that's why I would wear that color.
And you always used to tell me when I was growing up that purple is the color of what?
Purple is the color of royalty.
Yes, it is.
Also, the color of heaven, the reign of heaven.
A match made in heaven. Thanks for joining me, Mom.
Thanks for having me.
This is probably my favorite interview of 2017, and I'm counting all the ones that have been on TV and radio.
Yeah, we could just like end the podcast here and not even get to 100 episodes, because that was amazing.
Shit, you're worried about being replaced, Jamidra. Why do you think we feel?
Listen, if you find yourself watching the royal family broadcast, like the wedding, and you see a black woman in all purple, just know that that is most likely
we
my
need
mom.
To get her an invite, because I need to see the purple hat, the purple suit, and the black heels specifically.
Yes. And also, fun fact, my mother walked me down the aisle at my wedding, in which she insisted on wearing a white
at your day,
Mama
white
Brown.
Pantsuit. And then she settled for a dress. Guess what the color was? It was purple.
No. Oh.
And it was backlit.
Because she's royalty.
One of the two.
And it was backlit. So she still found a way to upstage me, which she is continuing to do today.
This woman is a queen. No wonder she's into royalty.
She's been waiting to snatch your chair on this show for months.
I have to say, I mean, my antipathy towards the British royal family, for the unfamiliar listener, is pretty well documented.
Yes. Yes.
I hate the lot of them, and I have deep-seated problems with the notion of a monarchy. I think the fact that we have one in the United Kingdom in 2017, and that the average taxpayer pays for these people to live in a shabby old palace.
That's the part that gets me. Like, they really live in subsidized housing?
Taking money. Yes. But I will say, your mum made me feel terrible. Because she was talking about Princess Diana's humanitarian work and all this stuff, you know, going to, you know, her landmine work and, you know,
leprosy,
physically touching AIDS patients as well, which no one did back then. And I kind of remembered all that and I thought, oh, I feel like a right shit now.
But you have to remember, the royals didn't like her either.
Exactly.
They didn't like, I mean, if you want to look at kind of really quite dark, the Queen killed Princess Diana memes, you don't have to look that far for the
conspiracy.
Yeah.
But yeah, they kind of shunned her, so you can believe what Mama Brown said. And that gives you further ammunition to not like them.
I can hold these two opposing views in my heart at once. Yeah. And also, it should be noted that Princess Diana was, you know, she's referred to as like a nursery nurse. She was a kindergarten teacher.
Oh.
She was still very, very posh.
My mama got her whole family tree. She was like, there's a whole Duke Earl connection, and her family has been there longer than I think even the royal family. Their lineage goes way back.
Exactly. Never believe the lies that are peddled to you about commoners and, you know, wonderful, worthy peasants marrying into the royal family. It's not true. Princess Kate is as posh as old boots.
Oh, well, I heard my mama also told me when we weren't recording that Kate had her eye on William and she was going to get him.
She said,
because I didn't know that he had proposed to somebody else who declined.
Declined.
Yep. Declined. Like a credit card.
Right?
Like, she was like, the Amex is not going through today.
Could
declined.
You swipe again? Could you just swipe that again?
And then he went back to Kate.
Damn.
And I heard that Kate has been, she's like, I tell you what I will be doing. I will be queen one day. So let me just go ahead and.
And I will produce an heir per year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just pop him out.
Also, fun fact for you. I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but her nickname in the British press was Weighty Katie.
Oh, yes, because she...
Because she weighted around. Not because she was a big girl.
Yeah.
Oh, weighty. Oh, I thought they meant...
Oh,
she
no.
Big.
You thought this was
no.
like some Mean Girls.
No, she was never big.
Like, what kind of burn book did we find?
No, I wouldn't be laughing about that. No, it's because she was just waiting around on the sidelines to be picked for the team, basically. And what a team.
She was in that Camilla Bowles playbook. She was like, listen, this will work for me.
Talk about the long game. That woman should teach war.
Listen. Like,
look up Prince Charles.
No.
Camilla.
No.
Tampon.
No. Oh, God, you said it.
Oh.
I knew you were about to say
that. I'm not saying anything more than that. It's up to you if you Google search that or not.
I'm going to directly contradict my co-host here. Do not Google Prince Charles, Camilla Parker Bowles.
The more
Tampon.
You know. I feel like we should just have the knowledge.
No. Something should stay out of
your
head.
Someone, no, don't cue the star. Don't cue the star for that one. Don't.
Put the star back into the sky.
What I will say, though, is I loved how you asked your mum about what she thought Meghan Markle would bring to the royal family. And your mum said that she thought she would fight for some causes she really believed in, like gender equality. But I misheard. I thought she said ginger equality.
That's who she was like, listen.
Yeah, it is a cause we should all get behind. These kids are getting bullied in schools.
When your mom said that she didn't want an engagement proposal from anyone, and then she changed her mind. She was like, actually, if he looks like Idris Elba,
I will reconsider. I was like, see, that's how I know that is my mom.
Apple does not fall far
from
that tree. Two other things that I loved. The part where she was like, no matter where you're from, Europe or Asia, you're interesting to me. I was like, she is so sweet. And I actually put my hand on my heart when I was listening, and I didn't realize until I looked down. I was like, oh, I'm touched. Literally.
Touching yourself.
Yes. And also at the end when you were like, do you have anything else to say? She just steps up as if she's in a pageant. She's like,
she actually did that.
Love sees no color. And my message to Harry, she doesn't know that Harry and Meghan don't listen to this podcast, well, but she was acting like they're going to hear this.
She very much was.
How's she going to get the invite? So they have to listen.
So going back to one of the questions you asked your mom, you asked her, who would you like to see marry into the royal family to like spice things up? How about we answer that question?
Oh,
yeah. And guys, just, you know, so we can make this really realistic, I got to thinking, Carrie Bradshaw style, about which, you know, actual eligible members of the British royal family, the unmarried ones, we could set people up with. So I came up with a few. We've got Princess Beatrice. She's 29 years old. She's often called the party princess.
Oh,
I'm down.
Okay. Yeah, she's the only member of the royal family to have completed the London Marathon.
Okay.
And she is seventh in line to the throne.
Good enough.
So I think the further away from the throne you are, the more like likable you are.
The more you can just chill out a bit of the
More likely it is that you've done cocaine in the past 5 months.
Yes. You've also got her sister, Princess Eugenie, who is 27, and she is eighth in line. She might have a boyfriend, though. Per Wikipedia, there might have been a secret engagement back in 2016 to a man called Jack Brooksbank, who, of course, she is distantly related to because it's the royal family. You've also got Prince George. I know he's a baby, but we can wait.
Ew. He's two.
So with that in mind, that's your, you know, that's your dance card. Who do you want to fill it?
There are no men?
Yeah, Princess George.
Oh!
The baby.
Princess George.
Oh, sorry.
I mean, he's not through puberty yet. We don't know.
Prince George.
We don't know how he's going to identify.
He might be trans.
Like, let's just, yes.
I don't know about you. I've got one very clear pick that for either Beatrice or Eugenie, probably Beatrice because she's 2 years older, I would say arise, King Keanu.
I knew it. I knew it.
I'm as predictable as the seasons, guys. I'm saying he's ageless. He's only 53. He is single and ready to mingle per his recent GQ profile, which has some stunning photos that everyone should look at.
Yeah.
And he really wants a family. He says that he's concerned it's not going to happen for him. And I was like, I am right here.
Aww.
I'm right here. Aww. Thing is, probably not going to happen.
Also, where's
us.
Rob?
My husband would understand if I called and said,
is it your whole pass? It's like, it's Keanu.
I mean,
Keanu wants me and my uterus.
But the thing is, my uterus aside, I am just going to lay it aside there on the table. Keanu Reeves' mum is English, so he's already got that cultural understanding. Maybe he'll ask for, you know, crisps rather than chips. And
sold.
He'll get it. And his dad is native Hawaiian and Chinese, so he'll still be diversifying that dreadful family.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Right.
Also, John Wick 3 is about to bring them coins in 2019.
That's true.
Cannot wait to watch it.
John Wick.
Ooh.
John Wick 2.
Amazing. All of them.
Wonderful. Best new action franchise of the 21st century, I'll say.
Also, his upcoming rom-com with Winona Ryder, where they go to a wedding and hate everyone except each other.
Can't wait.
Mm. And he sounds the same in every exact role.
Sure. Enough of that. This is a safe space for discussing Keanu Reeves.
We're trying to convince Beatrice or Carly to marry him.
That's
come
very
on.
True.
Okay.
I'll give him to Beatrice. I'll give him.
Okay.
Yeah. And do her that solid.
That's
so they can diversify that family.
Yeah.
Because right now it's like first cousin, second cousin.
They need
exactly.
Some help.
And I do think their wedding would be, to quote Bill and Ted, most righteous.
Yes. Oh. Yeah. So like, for the sake of not having any more club feet in the royal family.
Mm-hmm. And more weak chins, because he's got a lovely chin.
Yeah. Mm. So, you know, don't marry your cousin and marry Keanu instead.
Yeah.
Mm.
Put that on a cross
stitch. You could just put posters around the palace. Don't marry your cousin.
They're like, whoopsie.
They need reminding.
Keep calm and don't marry your cousin.
There it is.
Yeah.
So how about you guys?
George, I'm going to marry him off.
Blue Ivy.
To Blue Ivy. That's what I was going to say. Because if he married Blue Ivy, she's a little older than him.
Mm-hmm.
I think that she would be the one who is actually governing and running things.
Yeah, and her mom is a queen.
Exactly, yeah.
Already. I mean, everybody know that.
It's like royalty.
So I'm not going to marry anyone to those people that you mentioned because I have a hunch that Harry has a gay cousin somewhere.
Well, given your British history roundups.
Right? James the First gave us the Bible and was hella gay.
Mm. Yeah.
Go back and find that episode if you care. So here's what I'm suggesting. This person's already a queen, but we'll just make it official.
Oh.
Okay.
Rosie O'Donnell.
Oh, wow. So pray tell, Emmanuel, who is Rosie O'Donnell marrying in the British royal family?
The secret lesbian in the crew.
Hey.
If a celebrity follows me on Twitter, I will stand for them forever. And Rosie does.
Really?
So here's her name in a podcast. There you go. She's great. And the way she eviscerated Elizabeth Hasselbeck on The View years ago and sounded the alarm about the direction this country was going in.
Mm.
She was right. We were wrong. We judged her. She's right. And she should be a royal.
Arise, Queen Rosie.
On the male tip.
Just that.
I think this one gay gentleman should be living la vida real.
Oh, sí.
Ricky Martin.
Oh.
He has a really hot boyfriend right now, but
things change.
Chuck him. And finally, just because he deserves nice things.
Oh.
Frank Ocean.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
I mean.
He gay-ish.
He is, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think we have great ideas of how to ameliorate the situation over at Buckingham Palace.
And I love that you used that word.
And I did a little flourish with my fingers when I used it.
It was wonderful. I wasn't going to mention that.
I only do that when I use an SAT word that helped me get into college. I'm like, roop.
It was like a conductor at the symphony.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's what I was like on that February day when I took the SATs and got a really good verbal score, but a really bad math one.
Don't worry, this time.
I know my strengths. It's fine.
Yeah, that's not
me
time,
as well. So.
Yeah. So congrats, Harry and Meghan will be kind of watching, but someone who certainly will be watching is Jameter's mom.
Yep.
Mama Brown will be watching in her purple ensemble.
So when I discover a new Twitter account that I think absolutely everyone should know about, I'm not going to be shy about it.
Oh.
So, guys, your new favorite Twitter account is Medieval Deathbot.
Ooh. I'm into it.
AKA at Death Medieval.
Ooh.
This account does one thing and one thing only. It tweets automatically deaths that have been culled from medieval coroner's roles.
Why?
So, exactly. So basically some dude in Sweden has gone through all of these Latin records of death from 1200 to 1500 in England, which are barking mad, and he's just tweeting them out, who died and how they died. This is the brainchild of a guy called Søren Heksen. I Googled how to pronounce that, and I think I've messed it up. Who describes himself as an amateur medievalist, an artist, and a full-time goth.
And full-time.
The thing that you need to know about him, in addition to curating Medieval Deathbot, is that he's currently working on The Arthurian Smut Cycle, a queer graphic novel about Merlin, King Arthur, and tons of gay knights.
What? Well, yeah. This sounds like, I mean, this is...
He heard our episode about James the First.
Come through, Soren, basically.
Wow.
So I was,
Shantae, you stay.
I was combing through the best of Medieval Deathbot. Let's take a look at who died back in medieval times and how they died, guys.
Please.
Oh. We've got a guy called John de Thorpe, drowned in 1322 when thrown in tempestuous waters from his boat, the Dongbot.
The Dongbot.
His boat was called the Dongbot, guys, as in a bot of dong. You've also got Henry Costantin, who died in 1267 after his feet slipped and fell upon a pole of his wheat cart, which did penetrate into his fundament, aka buttocks. So basically, pole right up the arse and he died.
Jeez. Yes.
Oh my God, Becky, look at her fundament.
What a way to go. And then have it tweeted out as if it wasn't embarrassing enough the first time.
He thought he lived it down. He hasn't.
I know. Well, he didn't live it down at the time because he A, died, and then B, had to have the real reason marked down in the coroner's rolls. There's like a sustaining theme throughout all of these deaths. So many people are getting bitten by pigs and dying. Like,
what?
Pigs apparently were just everywhere. There's like babies getting killed by pigs, men getting killed by pigs.
That's
everyone,
a thing?
You get a pig.
Some pig.
Yeah, well, a dead man found in 1362 by John Atfield, who had not been wounded, but somewhat lacerated by dogs.
Somewhat. Oh.
We got pigs, we got dogs. Don't leave the house, basically.
You know what? Jeez. One time I was trampled in my Greek village by a pack of wild dogs,
oh,
and my sister abandoned me, and it's my like first memory. I was like 3 or something.
Oh, gosh.
God.
Hey, Mindy, who listens to this podcast, you left me there to die.
Thanks for nothing, Mindy.
I could be on this account.
Mindy had seen too many Vietnam movies where the guy's like, just leave without me. Yeah.
But I was like, don't leave without me. Please, help me.
You're like, I will only
Why
slow
do
you
I
down.
See like, I see like a film shot of your hand just reaching out from underneath this pile of dogs.
Yep. That was basically what
Slow
it was.
Slow motion.
Getting like pulled down like Evil Dead style. Oh, God.
They didn't lacerate me in my fundamentals.
They did not.
But they did just like run over me and I was scarred forever and I had a bloody knee.
Well, talking of animals,
yeah.
Did you know that Henry, son of Nicholas de Clercq, died at aged 14 in 1432, dragged to death by a horse which had been startled by a bird.
Oh. That is layers and layers of Animal Kingdom.
It's the onion, right? It's like the domino effect. The bird tweets, the horse startles, and it drags Henry, son of Nicholas de Clercq, off in 1432.
I know. Pour one out.
Pour one out for Henry.
Somebody get that bird, man.
Did not see that coming.
Yeah.
Guys, the infant mortality rate in medieval England, like, this is bringing it home to me. Because Robert, a boy of 3, fell into a pan of milk and was thus drowned by misadventure. In 1396.
By misadventure?
Misadventure.
By getting too close to the mill.
How big was this pan?
I doesn't say.
Jeez. Big enough. He's dead. Have some respect.
I know.
Put some respect on his
name. Okay. Put some milk on it too, because this is...
Wow.
Yeah. It's quite something to behold. It'll take you out of your daily routine. I just love that this dude is doing this while working on the Arthurian smut cycle.
Uh-huh.
He's finding time. You know, Sweden, the days are short, so he's maximizing daylight hours.
Yeah,
clearly.
And what else is there to do?
I really think this is a reminder that 2017, as terrible and hard as it feels, it could be worse. It could be 1417.
You know, you just sold me on that one. Because I'm like, you know what? As bad as it gets, at least I'm not tripping into a pan of milk.
Right?
You're not getting dragged by a horse that got startled by a bird.
Okay.
And my fundamentals are intact.
Exactly.
Well, for now.
No wild
for
pigs now. Running around. We're good.
It's the bee in the pig.
Hey, the bee in the pig. Hey.
So when Michelle Obama said, "When they go low, we go high."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We here at the Cooler Podcast go high and low with our Peak in the Pit segment.
We traverse.
Exactly.
But we start low and then emerge. So let's start with some pits that I have to hand out to several people
this
week.
We're already in the pits.
Who should we start with? Oh, Gwen Stefani. Step up to receive your pit of the week.
Not Gwen.
Yes, Gwen. So Thanksgiving is meant for spending time with people that you're grateful for and you truly care about, right?
Right. I think it's meant for hiding in the bathroom with your phone.
True.
That too.
And drinking.
Who do you think Gwen Stefani spent her Thanksgiving with?
I'm going to go out there on a limb and guess that it was with Confederate flag draped icon.
Oh, gosh.
Blake Shelton.
You forgot allegedly sexy icon.
Sexiest man because everybody else died.
Yes. He was there. They were in Oklahoma wearing matching camo outfits.
Okay.
Well, how could you see them? That joke was brought to you by my dad.
Nice. So that's bad enough. Like, we could just stop there, but I'm not going to because there's more. They were with a good friend of theirs who was also wearing a matching camo outfit.
Well, were they hunting turkeys or something?
Well, they could have been doing an homage to the Survivor video by Destiny's Child.
Hey!
Or getting revenge for that kid that was dragged by the horse and the bird.
Maybe.
Yeah, they were looking for that bird.
They're hunting.
Yeah. Our hunting culture explained.
Yes.
All
those pictures of them holding tails of elephants and ivory from elephants.
It all began with that dangerous bird.
It's all about that. Mm. So that person in the matching camo, who's their best friend, apparently, Paul Ryan, a man who, by the time you hear this, probably has realized his lifelong dream of taking healthcare away from poor children so he can cut rich people's taxes.
It's nice to have dreams, I will say that.
They're friends?
Apparently. And when I saw the photo and when I heard about it, the first thing that I thought was, must be nice to be able to like yuck it up because you have literally not one thing to lose.
Hmm.
They can just be friends with him. Oh, it's fine. You know, I'm not political, you know? I don't really follow that stuff because I'm white and rich, so I just don't care. So I was really upset. And then I was like, why am I so surprised? She's a rich, white, Catholic girl from Orange County.
She's done a lot to sort of like scrub that away, though. The new sort of iteration of her is very much more like polished and I could see it.
Yeah.
But the no doubt version of Gwen, I did not see.
Exactly.
The hills.
Tragic Kingdom was one of my first albums.
Right.
And I adored her as a baby teen.
Mm-hmm.
Who didn't? And I thought she was like counterculture.
Yeah.
And like sticking it to the man and representing for women and their agency with just a girl.
And also co-opting other cultures for her own.
That was later.
The Bindis.
Well, I guess the Bindi and also her Harajuku harem.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about. Yeah.
And then in another music video, she pretended like to be a chola for a day.
Yeah.
So anyway, I was wrong. Baby teen me is very upset and disappointed. So, Gwen, if you're listening, which you probably are, look at your life. Love yourself more than this. The rebound dick can't be that good. It just can't. That is the word from Emmanuel today.
Wow.
I mean, where is the lie? I'm looking. It's not there.
I can't see it.
Another pit. To
his hand in the mouth this week.
To teespring.com or something like that. They were selling a shirt through Walmart that said rope, period. Tree, period. Journalist, period.
What?
Some assembly required.
Are you serious?
And it wasn't until a journalistic advocacy group contacted Walmart and were like, hey, maybe this shirt that has featured in some Trump rallies in Minnesota in the campaign that we've seen on Twitter, you're selling those. Why? And they're like, oh my God, my bad guys. It's like, don't they vet the things that they're selling on their website?
Who's your buyer? Who's the buyer?
Dear God.
Walmart, according to Paris Hilton, a place where you buy walls.
Forgotten that.
Figure out your buying situation because something's wrong. Another pit. Women who are part of the problem.
Is Palin in that?
I mean, that's
she is
just
the problem.
Obvious. She's not on this list, but, you know, you could just assume. So, Angela Lansbury.
Oh, yeah.
No, don't come for Angela now.
No, he must. He must, for she has said bad
things. Okay, tell me.
Here's what
happened.
She said.
Murder, She Wrote. Am I mixing up my people?
Oh, that's her.
Her. Okay. She got the typewriter. Okay.
But did you notice that in Murder, She Wrote, she didn't blame the victims and she found out what was wrong?
That's true. She typed about it.
Quote, there are two sides to this coin. We have to own up to the fact that women, since time immemorial, have gone out of their way to make themselves attractive. And unfortunately, it has backfired on us, and this is where we are today. We must sometimes take blame, women. I really do think that.
Okay, so check this out, because I have been fresh out the gym. Okay? Fresh out the gym.
Working on your fitness.
Sweats.
We're your witness.
Yes. You know, in my mind most of the time. But like, just doesn't matter what you wear. I think I am most surprised when men try to hit on me on the days when I feel like I look like crap. I'm like, really? Today is the day that you really?
You're like this saggy
really?
Sweatpant?
Yeah, really?
Okay. Someone on Twitter said this about Angela. As the star of 1944 version of Gaslight, the movie.
Oh, wow. Nice callback.
Which gave us the term gaslighting. She is now gaslighting us to make it seem like the women are the problem and that they should be doing something different so that they're not harassed. Girl, or I should say, sorry, respect. Mrs. Potts, get back in the cupboard because we didn't need your opinion on this.
Nope.
You know who else's opinion we didn't need? Lena Dunham's.
Oh, I knew she was coming in the pit. So, you know, I'm done. I'm officially done because, you know, I tried with her.
She's
really
not
did.
The voice
you
of your generation.
Try.
I tried. I really tried generation. With her. I tried.
If you didn't know, she put out a joint statement with Girls co-creator, whatever, Jenny Connor, defending their former coworker and friend, saying, quote, insider knowledge of Murray, our friend's situation, makes us confident that sadly, this accusation is one of the 3% of assault cases that are misreported every year.
Okay, so inside information, as in you were in the room when this happened.
They better
or,
have been.
Like, how much, you know, what?
It's like, newsflash, just because he's nice to you and your friend doesn't mean he isn't capable of doing horrendous things.
Newsflash.
Like, obtuse.
He didn't do anything to me is
right.
Not yeah. A defense.
I mean, I didn't realize that she had any more feet to sting in her mouth because, I mean, it's been.
Well, she did. And there it is, yeah. Right
so many,
in there.
Like a little octopus.
Yeah, pretty much.
Kirstie Alley.
Wow, this is just a hole
this
of shame.
This is the pit, this is a roll call.
Quoth she, what the hell is happening? We now live in a country where people lose their jobs when accused of something without a trial, or in some cases with anonymous accusers, can't confront your accuser? This is bullshit. And it hurts the real victims of abuse and innocent people. And she used a lot of caps.
Wow.
That was a pretty good Kirstie impression, though.
Yeah. And then she got some backlash for that. And so then she came back and said the following. There's an SAT word in here, so I will be doing the flourish.
Okay. Please do the little wrist flourish that you do.
Okay. On another note, there is so much good in this world. But she spelled it word. Anyway. Dot, dot. And I just hope all this chaos doesn't occlude. The goodness around us. Take injustice against the bad and revel in the good.
No, I'm not here for it. Okay.
Kirsty.
You know what? I will not be saying cheers.
Someone has been worshipping Zeno too hard. She bumped her head. Reassess. Stop tweeting. On to our next person. Her name's Pamela.
Oh, Barbois.
She sat down with Megyn Kelly. She's another one. Here's what Pam had to say about Harvey Weinstein's accusers and why they should have known better.
Were you surprised when you heard all the women coming out about him?
No. You know what you're getting into if you go to a hotel room alone.
Are you serious? Is this the woman who has spent the entire 90s with her titties literally on display? Her sex tape? Like, is she really the one who is saying that these women asked for it? Like, or implying that these women asked for it?
She is, in fact.
Wow.
On Megyn Kelly Today.
One can only presume that
Why is Megyn Kelly Today even still on? Never mind. Sorry. I'm sorry, Carly. That didn't mean to do that. That was an involuntary.
One can only presume that Pamela Anderson travels around with a handy measure of tape to see just how short women's skirts are and just how much they're asking for it.
Yeah.
So, all those pits.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, and another person. No.
I'm going to stop myself there.
Thank you for tuning in.
But I would like one of you to talk because I've taken the spotlight kind of like Mama Brown did from you.
Okay.
And I feel like it's rude. So
I don't exist anymore.
Basically, I hate almost everyone except for Michelle Branch.
Oh, I mean, do you want to tell us why you like Michelle Branch?
I just want her on the show really badly and we almost booked her. And then her publicist ghosted me right before she was supposed to be on. So, Michelle, if you're listening.
If you are listening.
I used to love your music and my yearbook.
Don't say used to.
Making my way
still love.
Downtown.
And that is Vanessa Carlton.
Okay, so I was getting mixed up. You're everywhere
there it is.
To me. Okay.
Okay, well, just to get us away from those pits.
Yes.
I would love to just buoy you out of the hole up to the heavens.
Oh, hello.
Of glorious internet video nonsense.
Yeah.
There was a recent performance of Stravinsky's Firebird at a symphony.
I'm bored.
Exactly.
Where is this going?
This is the thing. Well, have you ever felt really out of place somewhere? You know, you go somewhere, you know it's going to be a little bit too fancy for you. You're like, well, it's Stravinsky, what's going on? Maybe you go to the symphony because someone asks you to.
Sure.
And it's really boring. You know, maybe you don't enjoy it. But you go along and you get a little bit tired. And during the slow, quiet bits, you feel yourself kind of drifting off to sleep a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
What if you had taken a little nap and then suddenly a really loud bit happened? It might sound a little bit like this.
Oh!
Startled awake. NyQuil abuse is an epidemic.
Guys, just say we've all been there. We've all been a little bit of a fish out of water and you know, maybe just drifted off because something was a little bit tedious. Not saying all Stravinsky's tedious, guys. But
wow.
So,
I mean, Amy, this is applicable. Like, you're at a conference. I know. Things happen, okay?
Oh,
we've all been there.
Oh, I honestly haven't stopped laughing at that. It's just because I feel her pain so much. It could be any one of us.
Yeah. Peak of the week to that well-rested woman.
Exactly. She feels great, but she's really startled.
But now she has like a strip of white hair in her.
She feels great and she just took a couple hours off her life.
She's just a little startled. So the song of the week goes to Tovelo.
Oh, Tovelo.
But for Americans, they called her Tovelo because we think, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because we can't deal with any culture that it isn't ours, and it's like, I can't learn
anything
new. Your name's weird.
Speak
I'm just gonna
English.
Call you. I'm just gonna call you Amanda. I just can't. So, in case you don't know, she's the one who's like, gotta get high all the time to get you off my mind.
It's a heartbreak breakup ballad.
So she has a new banger.
Ooh.
The music video is amazing. She says in the song, "I don't have a type." So the whole music video is her getting it on with a Muppet.
Oh.
Some sample lyrics from this song are, I'm sweat from head to toe.
Oh,
I'm wet through all of my clothes. I'm fully charged. Nipples are hard.
Ooh.
I'm ready to go.
Bloody hell.
So I think we should just breeze on past all the terrible shit happening in the world and just focus on dancing so much that you're sweating and your nipples are doing stuff.
Hello.
Crikey.
Just drenched.
Why not? So this is called Disco Tits. And I hope you enjoy it.
I say hi, you say hi, we stay high. You look so pretty, yeah. I'm sweat from head to toe. I'm wet through all my clothes. I'm fully charged, nipples are hot, ready to go. No, I don't know if I die. Take a hit. Come on over tonight. Take a hit.
Thanks to our podcast papa, David Marcus.
Another shout out to Carolyn Pennypacker Riggs for our theme song and those new bits of music between segments that you hum along to. Until next week, find us on social media. I'm Excuse My Booty with the E on Instagram, without the E on Twitter.
I'm at Teacup in the Bay on Twitter and Instagram.
And you can find me at Jamidra Says on Twitter and Instagram.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. I say hi, you say hi, we stay high, you look so pretty, yeah. I'm sweat from head to toe. I'm wet through all my clothes. I'm fully charged, nipples are hot, ready.